Start your own radio show now and join our amazing radio family of fun and interesting talent. Be the radio star you've always wanted to be. Visit LATalkRadio.com or email info at LATalkRadio.com now and start your own show today. State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on the first actual day in Southern California that we have temperatures in the high 70s.
That's right.
Low 80s.
That's right.
Because we've been burning it up out here,
hot,
right?
Hot in SoCal right now.
Really? Even the animals won't go outside.
That's will your pups go outside or they stay inside the whole time too?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness,
yeah.
Wow.
We go out at about 8 o'clock.
And get the cool weather when
you
can.
Yeah. Oh. So, but you live at Mr. Malibu Beach. You live down there. And how is it for you? Weather-wise.
Still hot. It's nicer though. It's honestly a 15 degree difference every day, but it is
15.
Still, yeah,
only 15.
That's right. Sometimes
really?
20 even. Yeah, but it is nicer. But I tell you, man, that heat when it's hot in Southern California, it's hot everywhere.
So why do you even leave Malibu?
It's a good question. Michael makes me. He says you have to get out of the house 1 hour every week. Come down and do a show with me. I said, all right, but that's it.
Which
I'm
only
going
takes
home.
3 hours to drive here.
3 hours.
That's
then
right.
1 hour. 4 hours to drive.
Turns
that
into a 40-hour work week.
I sympathize greatly with that drive.
I'll bet you do right now. That's right. Well, Michael, we obviously have a lot to talk about today on this beautiful summer's day, and a couple of amazing talents with us here in studio. Yeah?
Definitely, that's right. Andrew, joining us in studio today, ladies and gentlemen, is an alumnus of LA's Next Great Stage Star and veteran of the Los Angeles theater stage, and alongside him, the truly talented star of Peter Pan on stage now at Cabrillo Music Theater through this weekend. Please welcome Travis Leland and Carly Bracco.
Yeah.
Ain't no
welcome,
big thing,
guys.
But a chicken wing.
Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. Michael
learned it.
I got to tell you, I'm going to get that sound bite for my board here, Michael. We're going to be playing that all the time.
Ain't no thing but a chicken wing.
Well, obviously, we will get back to them in just a minute, Michael. But before we do that, we should go ahead and thank our sponsors.
We should indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
No doubt. And we would encourage all of our listeners to log on to Performing Arts Live to find out about some of the shows that we're going to talk about today, as well as virtually everything else in Los Angeles. Andrew, should we just go ahead and dive right in?
I think that we need to get to this lovely young lady here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely is right indeed. Our first guest hit a snag in her singing career as soon as it started. Back in elementary school, a chorus teacher said that she couldn't sing and asked her to simply mouth the words. One of my favorite things I found out about
her. True. I read it. I read this on the internet. It must be true. So
true.
Years later, however, at age 13, she tried again with a private instructor who immediately recognized her potential and encouraged her to try out for high school choir.
She has been dedicated to singing ever since at high school, sporting events, charity functions, political fundraisers, scholarship competitions, college musicals, and of course the professional stage, and more well before she graduated from her UCLA musical theater program in June 2010. That's right.
Recent credits include the roles of Wendy, Tootles, and Jane in the national tour of Peter Pan, Louisa in The Fantastics, and Ethel in Pizzazz, which was a musical that was written, if I'm not mistaken, by Richard Sherman.
That is true.
Wow. And someone else.
Milt Larson
from the famous Magic Castle, right?
Yes, that's it. Mm.
The musical was in Santa Barbara at the beautiful Performing Arts Center there, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Libero Theater was that one.
Cool. She has also been seen in The Producers, Loving Repeating, Investigating Discovery's Blood Relatives, and Disney's live show at the El Capitan Theater for Tangled.
And you know, speaking of Disney, she's also one of the prestigious stars of Frozen, the musical.
That's right.
And we'll talk about that because her career since this information that we've just disseminated has had so many other things happen. So we're going to get right down to it.
I happen to know another prodigious performer who's in that show as well.
Prodigious?
Prodigious.
Oh, really? You're using the big words
may
today.
Not be right. I don't know. Do you know anybody else in that show, that amazing show Frozen?
No.
Are there not guests, perhaps?
That's right. We're talking Disney today, boys and girls. No doubt about it. And lots of other things, too.
Well, she's here to tell us all about her role as Peter in Peter Pan, now on stage with Cabrillo Music Theater through this weekend. Let's give it up again for Carly Bracco.
Yeah.
They're wild.
What a strange thing. They cast a woman as Peter Pan. Yeah, unheard of.
That's so weird.
I keep wanting them to cast a 200-pound, 39-year-old male, but they don't seem to cast me in that role very often. You know, I don't think they want to lift me up in that flying scene. So.
Interesting history. They've been casting a woman actually since the beginning of the stage version of this because they couldn't work children past the age of 1
a.m. Oh, that's interesting. Is that the reason?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so they thought they needed that youthful charm and the light voice, and they couldn't keep little boys for long enough, so they hired women.
Wow, and what an amazing history of women who've played that role, too.
Oh, yeah, not
quite
too
the
shabby.
Lineage.
We got Mary Martin, Sandy Duncan, and my personal favorite, Kathy Rigby.
That's right.
And
why would she, have you ever had the chance to meet Kathy Rigby?
Yeah, a little bit.
In fact, you've done this show how many times before?
Oh, a lot. I did it for about 2.5 years.
Wow. And that was with Kathy, correct?
That was with Kathy. Wow.
And where was that 2.5 year spent? It was spent on tour?
It was the national and international tour of Kathy Rigby's Peter Pan. I started as Tootles and Jane and the Wendy understudy. And we started, where did we start? Hershey, Pennsylvania was our first stop. And we ended up back at La Mirada. We were all over. We ended up in Macau, China.
Wow.
And then I eventually got to play Wendy.
Do you know why there's no telephones in China?
No.
Because there's so many wings and wongs, they're afraid they might wing the wrong number.
Oh, my gosh.
That's my favorite childhood joke.
And we just lost all of our Chinese listeners in that
one. I'm going to give you strike one for a racist joke. Strike one.
No, I was only 6 years old, and I was telling that on my front porch with children watching.
That's right. You have two more strikes.
Yeah, I don't think it's racist as much as making fun of people with a lisp, which is so much better, Michael.
So. Strike two.
Oh, boy.
Back to Carly.
What was I going to say? But then I ended up becoming Wendy, and I actually understudied Mrs. Darling. I got to understudy Kim Crosby herself.
Yeah. But you did that in that show, playing the youngest, some of the youngest and some of the oldest. That's amazing.
I sort of played a lot of things. And then we ended up going to Vancouver, lastly, and that was Kathy's last time playing Peter Pan, so I was her last Wendy.
Now, there is rumblings that she's going to do it again.
I'll kill her.
Or kill whoever's playing Wendy.
She deserves to. She's worth so much more. She can play so many other things. I would love to see her be iconic in something else because she's that talented.
Yeah,
she isn't just Peter. She is so many wonderful things that I'd love to see her tour another show, star another show.
You know, the interesting thing about Kathy, too, was when she was when her fame came from her gymnastics years, and she was the darling of America in many sense, and she wasn't really an Olympic award-winning gymnast. She won her awards in other major international competitions, but nobody knew she could sing.
No, she didn't even know she could sing.
She opened her mouth the first time when she did a professional engagement. People were just totally blown away.
People were shocked. I mean, she's fierce. She can really, really do anything. Yeah. I mean, she just posted the other day of her doing a backflip into her pool.
Wow.
And she's turning 65 this year.
Wow.
Who are you?
Well, and obviously, we've talked about it a little bit, too. What a kind person. I mean, her dedication to her fans. How many people out there have a picture with her? It's got to be millions
by now. She will take the time for anybody. Yeah. I don't know a nicer, more amazing human than her. I try to follow her in every way that I can, professionally, personally. If I can be like her, I'm doing a good job at life.
Well, you're both class act, so I think you are her justice and yourself. Do we have a clip of Carly singing?
Unfortunately, our audio on that didn't come through today, so we don't. But I tell you, you got to go to YouTube here and search some of this, because you put me to sleep last night in such a wonderful way as I listened to all these clips. You basically serenaded me to sleep. I was up till 4:30 last night working on another project, and I kept you in the background. It was fascinating. You've played a ton of different roles in cabaret settings as well, correct?
Yeah.
And it's amazing to hear your vocal range, not just with the range of the notes, but the emotions that you play on stage. Is it hard to do Peter Pan, which, while not limited in some of its emotions, it's certainly not a huge dramatic role. It's got different things going for it. Is that hard to do when you have such a versatile voice?
I actually disagree. I think Peter Pan has an enormous emotional range, because you have to fight back in the way that a little boy or any little kid would. You have to fight vulnerability, because that makes you appear weak. And that's a lot harder to do. As a grown woman who's very connected in her emotions, I find it incredibly difficult.
Wow.
When you're saying goodbye to your lost boys and you realize you're never going to see these people again, the people, your brothers that you grew up with, and you're saying goodbye to them for good, or you realize that you haven't had a mother, that you're like for a lifetimes. There's not much heavier than that as a child, to realize that you missed being a child while being a child.
Hmm.
And so I find Peter Pan to be an incredibly deep role, although, you know, very fun and very playful.
Right. And obviously family friendly.
Family friendly. I have found that I have been more fulfilled playing this role than most of the roles I've ever played.
Including some of the more heart-wrenching roles that you've sung. Is that correct?
True.
Wow.
I find that this role actually dives into a lot of things that we feel: rejection, loneliness, feeling lost, feeling the fear of actually growing up, not just singing the fun song about it.
Yeah.
It's a genuine fear that we all have, but it's not afraid to die, it's afraid to grow old.
Now, finding that heart has to be one of the reasons that you've been able to do the show so many times. If you can keep that part of it so valid and so fresh, I'm sure that, you know, singing those songs as many times as you sung them from so many different perspectives doesn't get old at all. Is that correct?
It doesn't at all. And it's why I know that Kathy's done it for so long, is because there's so much there. There's so much to pull from. There's so much to draw from. And you learn something new about it every single night. And I could do it for 30 more years.
Fantastic.
You know, in some shows, you know, which are hit shows, the audience reacts differently. Maybe it's a Wednesday night and they're kind of tired and don't respond the same way. But I can't imagine that any performance on any day of the week of this show,
yeah,
that audiences wouldn't just eat this up.
No, right? I mean, and Yvette Lawrence, our director, did a really great job of bringing a lot of joy into this production and keeping everyone engaged for even longer. And it's really quite magical. And Cheryl Parker, who did the
Cheryl Baxter.
Wrong Cheryl. I'm thinking of Grease Live. Cheryl Baxter, who is just this super talented, not only choreographer, but tapper. And she's amazing with rhythm. And she changed some parts to make it tap friendly. So I'll just leave it at that.
There
are some new things in this particular version that I guess I should say is Five Star Theatricals version.
Very cool.
Because Cabrillo is changing its name
to Five Star
Theatricals. They are kind of doing a brand new start with Will North at the helm. And
Will
so
was here last week.
Yeah, and so the new name is Five Star Theatricals. And I think it's great. I think it's a really good thing to have a shift. I think not really out with the old and with the new, but right. I think Will's vision is good, and I think a new name fits it.
I like it, and he explained a little bit of it to us last week. Not too much, but from the outside marketing aspects of it and making a larger reach out into the community in a different kind of way. Obviously, now we know.
I feel so bad that I said Cheryl Parker. Cheryl, I didn't mean it. I love you.
We'll call her in a minute. We can talk about her on there.
There is.
That's right. And I'm sure she's great.
So. Cheryl Baxter, queen. I love you.
Well, I got to tell you, this obviously, if people want to find out more about you, they can go to YouTube and find some of these really beautiful performances. But I can't imagine anything better than Peter Pan for you. What a fun, spirited role that is, and what a great thing you get to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Peter Pan, which is produced by the currently Cabrillo Music Theater. And, of course, that opened this weekend. That's correct?
Yeah.
And it's just a two-weekend run.
Just two weekends. I was hoping for more, but yeah. It's tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 8, Saturday at 2, end 8 p.m. and then Sunday our closing show at 2 p.m.
What a great thing. And obviously this show, we've said it before, it's family friendly, but it does have so much going on there that if you take your kids to go see this, you're going to have a really great time.
Well, yeah, too, there's not really a weak link in the show. I mean, you got Brittany Bentley, who's Tiger Lily, who's just this fierce dancer.
Cool.
I mean, I've never seen somebody leap so much on stage than this girl, and she makes it look easy. We've got Greg North as Captain Hook, who is not only a brilliant singer, actor, but it's just hysterical.
Right.
And I love getting to work with him. Angela Baumgardner, who is our Mrs. Darling, who's got the voice of an angel. And, of course, Justin Michael Wilcox, who is one of the most talented,
insane, a great friend of the show too.
Magical men I've ever met in my entire
life. Last week with Will, yes.
And I love him. And all our lost boys are just really delightful and wonderful. And all the Indians and pirates. I mean, everyone is just stellar. I'm really, really proud of this cast. Everyone's worked so hard to make it our own version. That,
yes.
You know, we are inspired by Kathy and the set. You know, obviously they're Kathy's sets and costumes, but we have been inspired by it, but not copied it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have done our own version, and so we think it's a great homage to the boy who never grew up.
Well, I think we have a little clip here of you, and I think our audio's back now. Is it okay if I play a little bit of this of Never Never Land?
Sure.
Thank you.
I know a place where dreams are born and time is never planned.
How old am I in this?
This is in 2011.
I sing a little differently than this now. But
so you were 20.
Wow. Oh, no, but that's... This was my first cabaret with you.
That's right.
With Tyler. And Tyler.
That's right, Tyler Miller.
We're right there where you stand. Just have an open mind and then suddenly you'll find.
I'm laughing at all the silly things that I do then that I do now.
You'll have a treasure if you stay there. More precious for than gold.
I don't think so. Oh, I just found out I booked it. That's why. That's why I sang this.
Lovely things.
Lovely things. I'm so young.
So obviously, I mean, that was just a hint of the amazing things to come for you in your career, particularly with this show. But that was at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
Yeah, that,
not
gosh,
the
that
Federal.
That was at
Vitello's.
Vitello's.
Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's.
Gosh, and I was 22 or something in that.
And this is one of the cool things that I found about you is that, I mean, you honestly, you bring that character with you, not just with Peter Pan, but you bring that character with you no matter where you are. So many great vocalists rely on the vocals, but for you, there's definitely the character behind it, which I personally enjoyed, and YouTube features so well, right?
Huh.
And we don't need radio stars anymore because we got all the video now, so I do enjoy getting to see a live performance even in a smaller scope. So
that 2011, you're singing that song, you just get the job, but did you ever really for a moment in your mind think that you would be playing Peter Pan?
I always sort of dreamed that I would play Peter because I always felt that that was a far more fitting role for my personality.
Mm-hmm.
I've been kind of put in a box a lot because I'm little and blonde, and I'm hoping to one day change that little and blonde means that you're just a princess or an ingenue. I've always felt that I'm a more scrappy, tomboyish person. That yes, I wear a skirt sometimes, yes, I do my hair up and blah blah blah, but I connect a little bit more gender neutrally than just the little girl. So playing Peter is very fulfilling in the fact that like it really feeds my soul and the masculine part of who I am.
Sure.
Because you know there's not a lot of quote female roles that allow you to do that. And also, there's not a lot of roles where your first entrance is you fly through a window. So
you obviously haven't done the shows I've done.
I mean, it's something I've always dreamed and hoped would happen. And I worked and I studied Kathy, and I not just copy her, but I really, really paid attention to how she studied. She watched her grandson. She watched, how the boys in the cast behaved, mm-hmm. and the unabashed just reality of being a boy just thrills me, and I'm sort of a blunt person, and that's something I've always connected to, which is why I think I played a really good Lost Boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thrilled when I got the chance to play this character.
Well, you know, she has... Absolutely. I can't wait to see you
on Saturday.
And I'm
not saying being an ingenue is a bad thing. I like work. I like to work. I'll do whatever. but I feel like that... I feel that women get pigeonholed very, very, very easily.
Well, especially, like you said, the ones who fit the archetype of the ingenue.
Well, yeah,
that
you can't, somebody looks at you and they see small blonde. They're like, oh, she must be weak and demure. And I'm like, absolutely not.
Excuse me.
I'm like, meet me at the bar. I'll show you something different.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to meet her at the bar, where can they find you?
The Federal.
Good. Now we can get sponsorship there.
Hopefully
I like that
she'll
answer.
Come back and headline at the Federal.
Or with Brian Kennedy at...
You are doing something else in September with our friend Mark Ginsberg.
Very nice. So this is something I'm very excited about. We are producing a concert version of A Little Night Music at the Colony Theater in Burbank. And this is an exciting new venture because myself, Liza Barron, Noel Berry, as well as Mark, are producing it. And there's not a lot of female producers out there. And we're really excited to become a new voice in the LA theater world as women.
Yeah.
And Mark is a great supporter of us as women as well. So
sure.
We're, you know, he's our woman ally. And it's going to be beautiful. It's September 21st to the 24th. And we're starting this new concert series at the Colony Theater. And if you'd like to help sponsor us as well, go to www.gofundme.com/a little night music concert.
Very nice.
We're looking to raise funds for our other shows that we plan to do. We're going to do a lot of diverse casting and show that there's more than just the typical casting out there, and that there's more than just, God bless you men, but there's more than just white men running this business. There are women. There are women
out
there.
You heard it here first.
Right. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
And it's no offense. I love everybody in this industry, but I think there's room for more. It's not about competition. It's not about taking jobs away from anybody. It's creating more opportunities.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're aiming to do.
One more time, ladies and gentlemen, Carly Bracco, who is starring as Peter in Peter Pan at Cabrillo Music Theater this weekend. It's last weekend. And that is, of course, at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. And the box office is located there if you wish to buy your tickets in person. Or you can buy them through CabrilloMusicTheater.com or by telephone at 800-745-3000. And they range in price from an extremely low ticket price, actually, $34, up to $79. And you can call, again, 805. This is a second number, 805-449-2787. And we urge you to do that if you can even get a ticket at this point.
It's selling really well. So yeah. I wouldn't wait. We really had a sold-out house, actually, for our Wednesday matinee.
Wow.
Completely sold out. So
and this
beautiful.
Is the largest theater south of San Francisco.
It's gorgeous.
Yes. 1,700 seats? 1,800
Yeah, it's about 1,800 seats.
1,800 seats, right.
And I want to say thank you, Michael. You have been such a tremendous person for everybody in the arts in LA, and you've been so wonderful to me my entire career. So whatever you want, I will give you.
It's true.
This man is so giving and so wonderful. So if you are listening, trust what Michael Sterling has to say, because he really... He knows what he's talking about, and he's really good to the local artists, so I'm very, very grateful for you.
That's very, very sweet of you. Thank you, Carly. I appreciate it.
I'm hard on you sometimes.
I know.
But it's because I love you.
We're going to have to let this beautiful woman go. Because
she's
got
to go to work today, doesn't she?
She has to go to work,
and
she's got another appointment prior to that. So, Carly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and I really do love men. I love women. I love everybody. I just want opportunities for everyone.
Oh, you better love him. She's marrying one very soon.
Yes, I'm getting married in four
weeks. We want to say thank you for being here, obviously. And do you have time to tell us an embarrassing moment before you rush off?
Oh, in life or on theater? Because my life is an embarrassment.
We have a segment here that we talk about where we do a bit where we try to tell young performers that anything can happen and it's okay, you can go on. I can't imagine that you've ever had anything go wrong in live performance, correct?
Whether it's being slapped in the face with a prop and getting a black eye on stage and then passing out on stage and having to cry. Crawl off crying, I finished the show, so that happened. And then there was a time that I was Jane in Peter Pan, and my wire got caught. And so I couldn't fly. So I just ran in circles on stage around Kathy Rigby like a complete moron. And
Crazy Jane.
Oh, that crazy Jane. So, she kept me. She didn't fire me. So that worked out really well for me.
There you go. Well, listen, we want to say thank you for coming in. What a pleasure it was to have you. Come back and see us again soon, yeah?
Anytime. I awesome. Live just down the street. So yeah. If you need someone to be a big pain in the butt, you just call me. I'll be here for you.
All right.
Yeah. Give her a round.
Well, Michael, shall we take a few minutes here and talk about another amazing show coming up here in the Southland?
We should.
Hairspray at the Laguna Playhouse opening their 98th season.
And it is it's 1962, and Hairspray's big, bold heroine, Tracy Turnblad, twists ponies and mashed potatoes her way to Baltimore stardom while fighting for integration on a local TV dance show. Directed and choreographed by Laguna Playhouse Returner, is that the actual phrase?
Yeah, that's what it was in there, yeah. And it was straight from Performing Arts Live, so I'm sure it's correct.
Okay, Returner, Paula Hammond Sloan. The Returner. The musical stays true to the original story of the Tony Award-winning Broadway production with just a few tweaks.
That's right, no doubt about it. Winner of 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical, Best Score, and Best Book, Hairspray knocks your bobby socks off with spectacular songs, energetic dancing, and uplifting story for all ages. Hairspray runs through Sunday, July 30th at the Laguna Playhouse, so don't miss your chance to catch a performance of this fantastic show.
And for more information or to purchase your tickets now, visit LagunaPlayhouse.com or call 949-497-2787.
Hairspray has definitely become a beloved modern classic, and this would be a great time to take a trip down to Orange County and go see it.
A great time.
I tell you, my lips
That's
have
your
been,
Southern accent coming
my
out.
Lips,
there.
Well, my lips have been fried all day for some reason.
Oh, my goodness.
Now it is time to introduce the man sitting to my right. Michael, can it we bring is, this gentleman
I
here?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
Yes, let's turn to our second guest who is here with us today. You've seen him as Wallace Annenberg. What? No, you have seen him at the Wallace Annenberg in Merrily We Roll Along.
That'd be quite the role, wouldn't it?
Frankie in Forever Plaid with International City Theater, Ben in Rags with Theater Works, Les Miserables with Musical Theater West, and See What I Want to See at UCLA.
He played Frank Churchill in Emma, also with Theater Works, and Joe Hardy in Damn Yankees with Cabrillo Music Theater. He appeared in Nightmare Alley at the Geffen Playhouse, Adding Machine, a musical at the Odyssey Theater, and Fly by Night with Theater Works. He can be seen on stage now harvesting ice in Frozen, live at the Hyperion and Disney's
Hyperion
and Disney's California Adventure, along with our first guest, of course.
And he is also pursuing film and television work, as well as writing for the stage and screen. He is a graduate of AMDA and UCLA, was first runner-up in LA's Next Great Stage Star, and we are so happy to have him with us here today. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Travis Leland.
Yeah. Right. Welcome, man. Welcome.
So happy to be back.
Well, obviously, you're a veteran of the show, my friend.
This is my third time here.
You know what we do to people who've been on the show 3 times?
Uh-uh.
I don't know, you're the first one who's come back 3 times.
So wow.
Well, what a great thing to have you back here. And obviously, you knew the great Paul Strolley, who we love so
Paul's
much.
Paul's great.
And your career has just been on a superstar streak since LA's Next Great Stage Star. Is that right?
It kind of has.
Wow.
I've been pretty lucky, especially the past year and a half, 2 years, to just kind of go from thing to thing to thing. I did Stage Star in 2014.
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
wow.
And came in second place. And
because men weren't allowed to win back then, as you recall.
Right.
Finally
exactly.
Had our first male winner this year after, what, 11 years? Is that right?
11 years.
All these talented ladies.
I got
there,
close. So. I got close. But
he was the favorite save by the judges.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was a great time. Yeah. I think I met a lot of great people through that competition, and I think that has definitely helped me in the past couple of years. Establish myself, sort of build my career.
Yeah.
So, again, I want to echo what Carly was saying before she left there. Michael is an incredible person to know
in this
industry. Yeah. And whether it's just been a meeting over coffee or bringing me in for the radio or seeing him at the Federal, always has kind words, great advice. It is great to be here. Thanks,
well,
Mike.
Well, now, you've done a lot
of things. Thank you, Travis.
Can you tell me a little bit about when you sang Sunset Boulevard?
I love that song, Sunset Boulevard. Yeah. That
is this at the Federal?
Oh, God, do you have it?
Was this at the Federal?
I was at the Federal.
Do you mind if I play a little bit?
You could play a little.
I got to this during the competition.
You and Carly kept me entertained.
I think this was actually my one-man show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did sing it for the competition, but then I sang it again in my cabaret. I think the version online is...
So I think this clip, then would be
I've stopped using Pandora. I'm just using YouTube for music now. So here we go. This is Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, God. Couple of years ago.
This your style on stage, very much like our first guest here. You two, I can see you working very well in Frozen, because it's cool how much character you bring to each role. And so, I mean, I'm seeing Jamie in Last 5 Years. Lots of fun stuff coming up here. Yeah, so that's great. That's great. What's your favorite part about being in Frozen right now?
Because
you're an idol to young children all over the world, right?
I guess.
They love that show.
I mean,
show.
Maybe not me, but the character, for sure. The characters definitely are. The kids don't know who we are. But, you know, I think my favorite thing about it is the kids. It's looking up, you know, maybe after a particularly rough week or long day of work, and looking out into the audience and seeing in the first row the kids just ecstatic to be there, standing up in the aisles, dressed up like the characters.
And all of them are. They all have the costumes.
A lot of them. A lot of them.
My daughter has 3 of them, so I'm with you, no doubt about it.
Well, the theater at the park at California Adventure, the Hyperion, is a 2,000 seat theater.
2011, I think, is the capacity there.
Even realize that
that
there would be such a large theater at the park.
It is a beautiful space. You're right. Yeah.
So, how many performances daily?
Right now, we're running at 3. When we first opened a year and a couple months ago, we were running at 4, and then operations put us down to 3, mostly because of the amount of people we had in the show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We needed more. Now we're getting to a place where we can get ready to do 4 again, so we're still at 3 right now.
Multiple casts,
yeah. There's when I was first hired before the show opened, in the first batch of people there were 105 people. I think now we're closer to 130, 140, somewhere around there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's right.
Yeah.
And even though it's multiple casts, do they ever intermingle?
Oh yeah, all the time. I mean, all the time. My set days right now are Fridays and Saturdays. So I typically show up on the day and work with the same people. Mm-hmm. But there's always people calling out, switching, doing that sort of thing. So you never really know who you're going to be dancing with, playing opposite, doing whatever. Carly and I actually dance together in part of the show. So it's fun to show up and then be like, oh, great, Carly's here today. Or, oh, great, you know, so-and-so, whoever else is there playing that role. And then, yeah.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about your experiences in terms of L.A.'s Next Great Stage Star and how you found out about that and what the experience was like for you there?
That was something that I think I actually found out about it from Carrie St. Louis, to be honest. I was in a production with her right after I graduated college. I think right after she graduated as well. Called Just in Love.
That's right.
A musical at Celebration Theater. Mm. And we ran into the fall-winter of 2012. And I remember a couple of us from the cast going to see her at the Federal doing her one-woman show. And she was talking all about stage style then. And I don't think I had heard about it before that point. I think that was the first time I heard about it. And at that point, it was too late to sign up for the 2013 year.
Right.
So I had to wait another year.
And how old were you again?
At that point, 23?
So that,
yeah, somewhere
you weren't the
there.
Youngest contestant, but
no,
you weren't the oldest either.
Absolutely
yeah,
not.
Okay.
No, I was definitely not the oldest in my in my group. Mm-hmm. But definitely not the youngest. yeah, so I think, I don't know, I didn't hear about it when I was in college. Otherwise, I probably would have gone for it for some reason. It
were just you a Bruin never, as well?
I was a Bruin as well.
I noticed
Carly
that.
And I.
Did you see them light up over their UCLA ties?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Carly and I actually, the first time we ever worked together was, I was a freshman, she was a junior or senior, I can't remember, and it was for a director's showcase. They brought directors in to audition them for the school
sure.
of theater, and they gave them actors, and they said, hey, here's your, you know, whatever you want to direct, here's your actors, put it on, and then you'll have a public performance to show to the other staff and the deans and such. And Carly and I were together for a snippet of She Loves Me.
Mm,
we did two songs and a scene or something like
I
that.
I could see you both playing those roles.
Yeah,
yeah
definitely.
For sure, no doubt about it.
It was hilarious. It's that Where's My Shoe song.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah.
And Carly was just wild. I mean, it was so, so fun. And that was the first time we really worked together. But
when you guys have a special rapport, I know when you walked into our waiting room out there, I saw your eyes light up and it was fun. It's always good to know that our guests are going to immediately like each other. I knew that they had a good relationship, and that was a fun thing to see come to life out there.
Yeah.
Got to tell me, what are your dream roles? What are the things that you want to do as you move forward with your career?
Man. Well, Joe Gillis, Sunset Boulevard, definitely.
You know it's being done at Moonlight.
Mm. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's been completely cast yet.
I think so,
I know Valerie
yeah,
Perry
it's coming up.
Is recreating her role that she did down at Musical
wow.
Theater West.
Wow.
Maybe David Burnham, I'm not sure.
Maybe.
A greatly reviewed show at Musical Theater West, as I recall. That was really successful.
In Long Beach, yeah.
So.
Actually, I handled, I worked with them. That
interesting.
That was my first experience with them,
wow.
public relations-wise.
Huh.
So, yeah, great show, and a good role for you,
yeah,
obviously.
That would be,
no doubt,
that would be
no
great.
Doubt.
Just the guys, you know, just like the everyday guys that are thrust into these musicals that you're like, why is this guy in this story right now?
We could have held,
those are the
we could have held Carly back. You can go play Peter Pan tonight if you hustle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think more than anything, I want to create roles.
Yeah.
I want to create new musicals. I want to be...
The original works is something you're interested in.
Very
much.
That. Yep.
I love
mm-hmm.
that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I've met so many amazing performers who love giving their personal stamp to new music. That's what they long for, is to say, I made this song what people think of it as, which is a cool thing.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, and maybe what Carly was talking about from the producing standpoint there at the Colony Theater, if that is something that is going to have some longevity, maybe mm-hmm. there's an avenue that you can
absolutely
walk down together
yeah.
on that, right?
Yeah.
I think primarily when you look at musical theater actors in L.A., you've got to be very open to whatever experience comes your way, because musical theater is a very different sort of career track in Los Angeles.
It is.
A lot of tours, a lot of leaving the town and that sort of thing.
Right. And there's sort of a cap on the amount
yeah.
of it, you know? There are opportunities, but there's a limited amount of opportunities. You don't get major regional theaters auditioning here.
Right.
And if you do, then you're not working in L.A. You're out of town.
And original works is a way to kind of keep yourself going. Sometimes you're workshopping those a
absolutely.
Ton of the time.
Absolutely.
And they're usually at very – I've done so many in Santa Barbara, San Diego. So all up and down the coast, you mm-hmm. actually do get a lot of relatively local workshops, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, and you know there are theaters like the Valley Performing Arts Center, who has picked up now – the steam with presenting Broadway musicals.
They do a very good
they're
job
doing
that, yeah.
business with Kathy Rigby
mm-hmm.
and her husband Tom McCoy. And so far, out of the gate, an amazing season for them.
Absolutely.
And those shows open there before they go to La Mirada, which is interesting.
A very nice partnership.
And speaking of the Valley Performing Arts Center, I might add that just yesterday it was announced that they received a grant of $17 million.
Wow.
The largest grant that has ever been given to a regional theater.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
Finally supporting the arts over there. That's a great
That's
thing
great.
For the Valley
yes.
to have.
And
yeah.
the theater will no longer be called the Valley Performing Arts Center. It will be called by the first name of
people who donated.
Of the wife
That's
of
great.
The family who donated.
It was
money.
The Sterlings, right? I saw you writing checks the other day, Michael. I didn't know that that was what you were doing. Fantastic.
No. I wish it were that simple.
I wonder where all our funding went. My goodness.
Really?
Well, that's obviously a great thing, and I think that, you know, it's rare to find a situation like that where so many dedicated people have raised money for so long to make that theater what it is, and it just burst onto the scene with so many great performances.
It's a beautiful, beautiful space. Actually, I even saw it used the other night on So You Think You Can Dance.
Wow.
It was used for one of the final callback auditions on that show.
Great. I got to say, I was Googling Travis last night, and I was, you know, as I immersed myself in our guest work and stuff, and I came up with So You Think You Can Dance, the kid who did the front flip and missed it. Oh my goodness, it's become a gift. It was in one of the related search results. You're very smooth. This kid was not, but he goes to do a front flip and his dance routine, and he just missed and face plants, and I felt so terrible. He was okay, thank goodness, but I felt so terrible for him. But it was something that I would do. I mean, how many times have I been on a stunt set or something and gone to it and go, yeah, that's not going to work that way, It's interesting when you look at, you know, what we have to do as performers at live performance.
Mm-hmm. So, Travis, I know that you've got something coming up that you can't tell us too much about it, but it's going to happen in the fall?
Yeah, I can say a little bit about it. It is going to be at TheaterWorks Silicon Valley, up in the Bay Area, where I've worked a couple of times now. They've been really good to me. I grew up in the Bay Area, so I grew up watching theater at that theater. That was always sort of my marker for what was good and what was not, you know? And sometimes you see bad shows there, too, but... But it was like, that was sort of my level of, if it's there, it's of a certain caliber.
It's going to be, it's going to be something I want to see, sure.
I remember in high school going to see the workshop production of Memphis before it went to Broadway.
Oh, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, so TheaterWorks
had a huge... How much of the cast was the same?
A lot of it, actually. Yeah, they had a huge hand in developing that for Broadway. That was in like 2003, and then it wasn't on Broadway until 2010 or so. So cases like that, and there are countless other cases, shows maybe not as successful as Memphis, but other ones that have gone on to have live set, other regional theaters, off-Broadway, Broadway, international, whatever. One of their big aims is developing new musicals.
Wow.
So the one in the fall will be a world premiere musical based on an animated film from the 90s.
Wow. You can't give us title yet.
I can't tell you the title quite yet, only because I haven't signed. You can
guess.
I'll give you like a wink, maybe.
Be careful. I watched a lot of movies in the 90s. So.
I haven't signed a contract yet. So that's the only thing that I'm like, I can't officially say this all yet.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. But and it's a great team. The theater obviously is great. I was just up there a couple months ago doing the musical Rags, and it'll be in the same space.
Is it a proscenium stage?
It is a proscenium stage, yeah. They have two spaces that they use to present the main stage shows. Mm-hmm. And then in the Mountain View Center, they have another space that's capable of being in the round, and they do a lot of workshops and smaller things there and some youth outreach things there. Mm-hmm. So.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Speaking of main stages, you know, we're talking about Valley Performing Arts Center going through a name change, but also the El Portal Theater.
And Cabrillo as well.
And Cabrillo, that's right. And the El Portal Theater's main stage has now changed to be called the Debbie Reynolds Theater.
Oh, wow.
Which is such a great way to honor her. Yeah, absolutely.
Honor her because she had performed there so, so many times with her own nightclub act through the years. And also... rode her bicycle to that theater when it was the only movie theater in the San Fernando Valley.
Amazing.
Wow. As did Marilyn Monroe, who went to school right behind the theater.
Wow.
Obviously, that theater has a ton of history, and that's a great way to honor her. So
huge history. So that's a sweet thing to do because they did for Marilyn. They renamed their smaller theater, the Forum, the Monroe Forum, in honor of her 50th anniversary of her passing, I think. Yeah.
Well, and that, I mean, so much history down there. Of course, the Federal's down there as well. So many great buildings that have some really interesting history in them, too. So.
There's the 24-Hour Fitness, which is, you know, historic for its own.
It's historic for a lot of reasons. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I love that area of town. They're doing a lot of construction down there now. I was surprised at how much I had to root around other things to get to other places.
I heard they're building a Grove-like type a shopping complex in North Hollywood.
The one off the
around in that area. I'm not totally sure exactly where, but I heard that the other day.
I wonder where that would be.
Yeah.
We need somebody to do our reconnaissance.
But it's a very eclectic area right now. It draws a whole big span of different types of people in it, into the things that it offers now.
Yeah.
So something like that, a little more upscale, perhaps, if that's what you're indicating, would also help in the cross pollination of a lot of different types of people coming into the
Well, and it's such a convenient location for so many people off three different freeways. That's a cool thing.
And, you know,
thing,
there's some 25, 27 small theaters in that area.
That's amazing.
That's an Equity Waiver, well, I don't know if we can say that anymore, Equity Waiver theaters, can we?
99-seat theater.
Yeah, I think 99-seat theater plan, that's right. Yeah. Well, Travis, obviously we've enjoyed having you here today, but we will not leave you with a good taste in
that's
your mouth,
right,
my friend.
Hang on here for a second.
So you know what it's time for, right?
Yep.
I believe that this is one of those things that you're well-versed in, but I refuse to let you leave without you coming to us and giving
and
us a...
Now. Embarrassing moment.
Is that Paul?
Nah, very close. Sounds like him. Paul could totally
okay.
do that voiceover.
This is what I'm going to say because I've been thinking about it for a little while. I think the last two times I gave two different stories. I think I'm going to give one of the first ones that I said, but I have consciously tried to not let these embarrassing moments happen to me on stage. I am always
life
trying.
Goal.
I'm always, yeah, absolutely always. A couple things just off the cuff that just randomly happen, and you're always like, "Oh my god, I can't believe this is happening right now." In Frozen, my pants rip a lot. They rip a lot.
But enough about your personal life.
Right. They rip a lot. The mics go out. You know, it's like it's always like one thing after the other after the other, and then you have no idea what you're doing. And then sometimes I'm acting with a certain other cast member, and there's a piece of hair that is stuck on their wig. And every once in a while, it just sticks straight up like alfalfa style. And I'm really terrible at keeping character when things like that go wrong. So I just start cracking up and have to run off stage as quickly as I can. But I think the embarrassing one I'm going to bring back was when I was doing Les Miserables at MTW. And it was our first performance. I think it was either our like invited dress or opening night. And we all were wearing wigs. And we're on the barricade, and I was just one of the guys on the barricade, and we all died in slow motion. But as we got shot, we had to jolt our bodies and then slink down in slow motion. As I jolted my body, I was just so invigorated with the crowd, and I was so in character that I flung my wig off of my head.
That Frenchman got scalped.
Yep. And it was just lying right in the middle of the stage.
Oh,
and the barricade moves upstage, and I had to yell off stage, "My wig fell off." And somebody ran on stage and got it.
My goodness, look at that amazing rat coming through the sewer.
Right.
Oh, man.
But I like that story. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I tell you, we've had so many good stories, but the great thing that I love about this is that there's not any other industry where this happens, and you can talk about it with such joy as I survived that. Anywhere else, it's like, and my career never recovered. This is about, hey, it's going to happen to you at some point. You keep going on.
Well, and also, you know, it's kind of a special thing about theater because there are no two performances alike.
That's exactly right.
And that is the joy of life.
Yeah.
And that's why we always tell people, go ahead and get off your couches. Michael, like you always say, you got to go out. You got to be in the moment. You got to be at the space if you want to see some of these amazing performances and the fun things that happen along the way as well. So,
exactly.
Michael, what a fun show today. A couple great performers.
I know. And, you know, speaking of musical theater West, they're having a field day with their Mary Poppins right now.
No doubt about it.
Which has been selling out every performance, as one would expect. It certainly did for Cabrillo Theater when it was there. And a pal of mine is playing Bert, Bobby Piranunzi. Do you know
I don't.
Bobby?
Mm-mm.
Piranunzi, an amazing singer, actor, dancer who kind of left the business for a while to become a corporate guy, and then he just couldn't do it anymore.
He had to come back
and
just when he thought
back.
He was out.
And he's lovely in everything he does. He's you know, very top-notch. So I hope he is enjoying his run down there.
Well, we want to remind people, obviously, get out to see Frozen. What a great show that is. And
absolutely.
Google some of our guests here today and find out a little more about them. You're going to love watching what these rising stars do. But not only that, go visit Peter Pan. Take your kids to live theater. Get them started in that direction. Of course, Hairspray as well. Encourage you to get out and see that. And Michael, where will I see you next week?
You will see me next week on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.